Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you are growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and that you are learning what the Bible is all about. It is the presentation of God's Son who presented himself to the Lord, and we are to bring glory to the Lord, God reconciling sinful man unto himself. The work is of God. Salvation is of God. It is not that something that man has dreamt. It is something the Lord has done. The redemption plan is God's plan. Man went away from the Lord God in the garden, and ever since that time, man has been running. And the reason why we have the problems we do today is because people are running from God. And I just saw today a young girl who was so stubborn, very stubborn and unreasonable young girl, young mother. And as I watched her in the doctor's office there, the things that she wanted to do, and nobody was going to tell her anything. She had a little baby. And just watching her talk about how what she was not going to tolerate, it was somewhat obnoxious, but it was a burden to see a soul in charge of another soul that had that mindset. A time to pray for someone like that, to try to get the gospel to them. But we do pray for people who are in bondage and have been running their lives as though they were the sole purpose for being here. I know of people, and perhaps you do too, who feel like we ought to be thankful that the Lord will let us walk on the same dirt that they've walked on. That we are allowed to be in the same world at the same time that they are here. And people have that attitude. They want to be independent of God. Man ran from God in the garden, and man has been running ever since on his own, away from the Lord, looking unto himself, living for self, not wanting to have God to have any place in the life. And many times, if he does have a place, if they do want to have him, want him to have a place, it's the last place. If they can find room for him, if they can find time for him, then they'll bring him on. Or if there's no other way, then they will go God's way. If you told them they had to go eat by passing through a place where the gospel is being preached, where Christ is lifted up, they will stay outside and nearly starve to death before they will go hear the message. Or pass through the place where God's people are. That's how proud and arrogant man is apart from the Lord. And all of that came about when Adam sinned against the Lord in the garden. Sin entered the world. And when sin entered in, then came death. Nothing died until Adam sinned. So there is no such thing as a pre-Adamic race or a group of people that lived before Adam. Nothing of the sort. The Bible teaches that through Adam came death, through Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, then there was death in the world. Now, angels don't die, by the way, and they sinned, I would believe, before Adam sinned, because Satan was found in the garden. He is a fallen angel, and he must have sinned before Adam was made. And he did not die. But he was one that's judged, and there are some angels, according to the book of Jude, verse 6, that are reserved in chains, so wicked that the Lord doesn't even allow them to be out and about. Well, the Lord came to bring sinful man back unto himself, and if we miss that message, we've missed the whole purpose of what Christ came to do. He did not come to be an example. He is that. He did not come to show us the way, though he does that, and he is that. He came to reconcile sinful man unto holy God. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name and on the merit of Christ that thou wouldest bless thy people today. Lord, help us. Give me wisdom to speak thy message and thy truth. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Now, let's continue in the book of Exodus, And we did see on the previous program that Leviticus is pertaining to the Levites. The Levites were of one of the 12 tribes. And when it came down to, I'll say this at this point also, when it came down to them dividing the land, the Levites did not have an inheritance in the land, but the Lord was to be their inheritance. And I think the Lord is teaching us something from this concerning the servants of the Lord, those who give themselves to full-time or whole-time ministry. You know that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, that there were those who wanted to be about various things, and there were those who were going to be about those things of the Lord, and there were others who were to be about taking care of the things of the people. And the apostles were to give themselves over to preaching, praying, and teaching the word of God. And so the deacons were called in, were ordained, and dedicated unto the Lord for the purpose of ministering to the physical needs of people and taking care of the matters here on this earth. And so that is why we have the preacher free to study, to pray, and to teach the word of God. The ones who are worthy of those elders who are of that nature are worthy of double honor, and that is to provide care for them. I had a young man ask me one time, he says, why do we give the preacher money? I felt they were supposed to be doing that as a volunteer. Now, this was a young man, young and studying the things of the Lord. And his idea was that you just see, if the preacher is to provide for his own as well as to care for the neat spiritual needs of the others, then how will he care for his own family and his own spiritual growth? Because, you know, you have 40 hours that you dedicate to your work. Then the matter of the preacher, the pastor, he has to spend much time in studying the Word of God to present God's truth when people gather on a regular basis in an appointed place. And the one has to be free from many of this world's cares to take care of that. He has a family. He has needs as well. And so you get, I hate to say it like this, basically you'll get what you pay for. You want your preacher to be worn down, wearied, tattered, and torn, and then stand up and try to preach to you after not having enough time to study and to pray. Then you'll get what you, someone said, used to, I've heard this, you get what you pray for. Well, you don't always get the things you pray for. But if you want him to be free to minister about holy things, and by the way, in saying that, have to be careful, because all ground is holy ground for a Christian. Every bush a burning bush for the Christian. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And the Lord does not say that you have a less sacred ministry or a less sacred work because you're not called to a public ministry. No, he doesn't say that. You have been called of the Lord to serve him and serve him wherever you are. But he gives to each a talent. And the preacher's talent is that of standing before the congregation, publicly proclaiming, publicly teaching the word of God, seeing saints built up so that they can go ahead and see people brought to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, or seeing that others are cared for. And the Levites were God's people set apart to minister unto God's people, and they ate of that offering that was brought unto the Lord. They ate of the offering that was a portion of it. And we saw that on the previous program, that the Lord was indeed taking care of his own people. Now, these Levites were responsible to the Lord in this way. They were to receive the offerings. Now, you say, I want to bring an offering to the Lord. Well, how do you do that? So I'm going to And see, there's a testimony that is there at stake. See, I give my offering to the Lord and nobody knows about it. Well, sometimes people can be proud in that act that they call, that they say they're doing it unto the Lord. But you know, they don't want to be accountable unto anyone. They want to be their own boss. And that is not the way of the Christian. There is the authority aspect in the ministry. You are accountable unto someone. Someone will say, but I'm accountable only unto the Lord. Well, look at that attitude. The husband is accountable unto his wife, and the wife unto the husband, and the children unto the parents. Each is accountable unto the Lord. Now, no person is an island, as John Donne wrote. No man is an island. You are a part of the entire body of Christ, and you are subject to the very laws of the Lord. You're subject unto that which the Lord has brought into existence. And do not be the one who says, I'm footloose, fancy free, and I do all that I feel that I want to do. The Lord is not pleased with that attitude. That's why we have a local church to which we're accountable. You know, don't you, when you're doing what's right, don't you want to be encouraged in the way to continue to doing what's right? Just look at this also. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think of the worldly religion of Islam. And they say that Allah is one and Muhammad is his prophet. Now, if Allah is one, why does he want to do with sinful man? What purpose does he have for sinful man? And for sinful man, is there an atonement for him? Well, the Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. And God delights in fellowshipping with that which he has made. And we will never become gods. We will always be subject unto the living God, the one true God, manifested in three persons. And there is, again, we talk about this, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. But the one who says that he is one God and has nothing to do with sinful man, I wonder what's the purpose of him even coming? And why is that? To have a creature such as frail man to envy him? No. You see, with Christianity, we have a part to be a partaker of his divine nature. We are accepted fully into the family of God. He calls us brethren. He gives to us something to do. We have a part in his work. And the attitude is that the Lord has given to me what he would have me to do. And I am doing my work as unto the Lord. I am reaching out, reaching forth into this world with the message of the gospel, that God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God will save souls, and he desires us to be with him, but he gives to us something to do, as he gave to the Levites to minister about holy things. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord again upon us. We plead the blood of Christ. Hear, O Lord, from heaven and help us. Use us, I pray thee, today, that we might be faithful in declaring thy truth. For Jesus' sake, amen.